Please open our Bibles to the book of Isaiah and the 51st chapter. In your Scofield Reference Bible, page 759, Isaiah chapter 51, we'll be reading verses 12 and 13, and we'll read the verses in unison, the 12th and 13th verses of the 51st chapter of Isaiah, and in the Scofield Bible, page 759. And let's please all stand. Let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. And begin with me on verse 12, and then we'll continue through verse 13. Ready? I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou, that thou shouldst be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man, which shall be made as grass? And forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that hast stretched forth the heavens, and laid the foundations of the earth, and hast feared continually every day, because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? And let's pray.
I was going to preach on another subject this morning, but I felt I ought to chat with you for a while. A little child prompted the message this morning. I think it was Thursday night. A little child was in the hallway of the church. I do not know the child's name. I'm not even sure if the child goes here, except called me Brother Hiles, so it must be one of our kids. I do not know if he was with somebody who was here to see me Thursday night. I do not know. All I know is up in the hallway near the entrance of the office area. And he said, Brother Hiles, remember that they've been having trouble all this week up at Harrisburg, Pennsylvania with this nuclear blast. And it was either Thursday night or Friday night. I think it was Thursday night, but... when was it? When was it when that thing started? The trouble started Wednesday, and so this little child—he couldn't have been over 5 or 6 years of age—looked up at me and had big old tears in his eyes, not crying but moistened eyes, and he said, "Brother Hiles," he said, "that thing—he was talking about that nuclear plant in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania." He said, "Are we all going to get blowed up?" And I pulled him to my trousers and I said, no, son, we're not all going to get blowed up. But I've got a suspicion this morning that there are more than 5 and 6 year old children that wonder that. And I felt for a long time that maybe I'll, a number of weeks, maybe I'll take a while some Sunday morning and sort of pastorally calm us a little bit. It's mighty easy to get upset, worried, afraid. I guess all of us do. The story I read a while ago tells about the Lord said, why should you be afraid of a man who's going to die and not even think about how great God is to protect who will never die? Why should we be afraid of men who withereth as the grass and not trust the eternal God who shall never wither to care for us? This morning, if you'd sit up straight and listen to me for a while, you might not even call this a sermon. It's just going to be a pastor sort of saying to his people, like the Savior said to his, fear not. 77 times in the Bible, it says, fear not. 77 times in the Bible. Fear not. Our Lord Jesus said, be not afraid, it is I. Now all of us, including this preacher, have fears. But there was a king in this passage that of which the people were afraid. And they were scared to death, afraid this king was going to attack. And the truth is, he never attacked. I expect a lot of them died with heart attacks, afraid they were going to get killed by the king. They never attacked. And so this morning, I want to talk to you on the subject about fears that need not be. Most of us are afraid. We need not be afraid. And so I want to say this morning, fear not. Our Lord said it 77 times. And so would you listen very carefully after I pray, as I chat with you for a few moments. Heavenly Father, I've been to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, many times. I preached a citywide meeting with all the churches, fundamental churches in Harrisburg, cooperating. They rented a big Masonic, I think a big Masonic building there, and I preached a series of conference messages there in this big building right downtown, or near the downtown district in Harrisburg. I spent nights in motels along the river that flows through Harrisburg. I've spoken numbers of times in Hershey, Pennsylvania, and I have many dear friends in that area. The truth is, we have numbers of college students, Dr. Evans, from the Harrisburg area, and I'm sure it would be mighty easy for you to be alarmed and worried. I would be. It's a natural thing. And yet, there are other nuclear plants in America, and we are fearful, I think. We wonder, shall the Russians destroy us first, or shall we destroy ourselves first? And then somebody said, Brother Hiles, you think a famine is going to come in America? The rumor is out all over America that Brother Hiles has a little cabin way, way back in the woods somewhere, and that I've got enough food there, back there, to last me for a long time. So when the famine comes, and when the occult, they say, takes over, they say, Brother Hiles thinks the occult is going to take over, and the Illuminati is going to take over, and that Brother Hiles is going to flee to the hills. There I have enough post toasters to last me for a long, long time, tucked away in the hills somewhere. Now, I do have a supply of food laid up. In the attic over my office, I have about 7,000 Reese peanut butter cups. And apart from that, I have no food laid away. No, I do not have a cabin. I do own a lot on a barren hill out in California, in Northern California, that some fundamental Christians out there asked me if they could almost give it to me. They bought it for the price of the taxes, some kind of legal deal, and the lot cost me, I'm guessing it cost me $100. I'm not sure what it cost. And they asked me to buy it because they're building a camp out there, a retirement camp, and they want to use my name as having a retirement lot out there. And so I may flee to that little old lot on the side of that mountain and set me a pup tent up there someday and eat the Reese peanut butter cups that I have. No, I have not. But the famine may come, and folks, worried sick about a famine. Oh, I know a doctor in this area that closed his practice, got him a boat, went to a big ocean or river, lake or something, and lives on that boat. So when the Illuminati comes, and the famine comes, and the riots come, and the atomic bomb drops, he'll be out there on that boat. Now, personally, I'd rather be out right underneath the bomb than live my life out there on a boat by myself on a boat. But he did. And I said, Dr. Streeter, you shouldn't do that. That's a dumb thing to do. I mean, just the two of you out there on that boat the rest of your life is not going to be interesting. I wouldn't want to be on a boat with Dr. Streeter the rest of my life, I'll guarantee you. And it's easy for us to fear. This is not a hard world in which to fear. And it's certainly not a hard age. Will persecution and martyrdom come? I'm sure that young ladies and young couples about to get married, you're praying. You know, you folks getting married in June, you're not praying, even so come, Lord Jesus. You don't want the Lord to come, and you know it. And don't sit out there with a pious look on your face. Amen, amen, I want Jesus to come. No, you don't want him to come. You know that. After you're married a year, you will, but you don't. But I'm saying it's an easy world in which to fear, especially for children. You fellows down here on the front, you young folks over here, it'd be mighty easy for you to despair and say, what's the use of it all? Is it worth it all? Because it's easy to be fearful in this age, and it is. Is the depression? Depression going to come? We're going to have a war real soon. This is a fearful generation. Now, may I say this, what the Lord is teaching us in these verses, he's saying we don't need to fear because most of the things that we fear never transpire. Some of you folks, you've been afraid all your life, afraid you're going to get killed by lightning. And folks, in the first place, it can't happen but once, and but, oh, a storm comes, and you crawl under the bed, and I have news for you. A lightning can go right through a mattress. But you crawl on the bed, and or you close the drapes. That way you can't see the lightning, but it can come right through the drapes. I have news for you. Now, there's no need to be afraid. The truth is, we spend our life, I'm afraid of lightning. I'm afraid of storms. But the truth is, we have a heart attack because we're afraid, and the lightning never kills us. Our fear of the lightning kills us. Most of our fears that we have won't happen anyway. That's the case of the Israelites. They're afraid of this king. Oh, this king's going to destroy us. He's going to come and get us. And the Lord said, well, look, why be afraid of a king? He's going to die someday. Don't you think about me? If you're going to dwell on something, think about my protection. I'm God. I'll never die. And if you want to think about something, think about how great I am rather than how much afraid you are of that king. Or that king's going to wither his grass some of these days. His body will turn to dust. But I'll never wither. I'm the Lord thy God, and I am yesterday and today and forever. And I was and am and shall always be. Don't be afraid. Now look, folks. I'm not saying that we shouldn't ever be afraid. It's impossible for us not to fear. But we ought to stop and think after we fear for a while and say, how foolish is that? My Heavenly Father loves me. My Father cares for me. He has promises He's given to me. I need not be afraid. Now, I say, fear, Dwight Moody used to say, it's not a sin for a bird to land on the top of your head. It's not a sin. It is a sin for a bird to build a nest on top of your head. He shouldn't stay there that long. In my case, I think a nest might be better than what's up there right now. but I'm saying that it's not a sin for doubts to come into our mind. It's not a sin for fear to light on our shoulders. But it is a sin for us to keep on fearing and keep on being afraid and keep on being afraid. And so what I'm saying this morning is what the Lord said, fear not, little flock. There's really nothing to be afraid of. Our Father is in charge. He's the omnipotent Heavenly Father. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He said, I'll never leave you, forsake you. 366 times in the Bible he says, I'll not leave you. And 77 times he says, fear not. And there's no need to be afraid. So most of our fears are needless. I grew up in Texas being afraid I was going to be killed by a tornado. Needless to say, I never was. But I had caused me more trouble being afraid than the tornado. Or maybe some awful disease. Or maybe some poverty. Or maybe unemployment. Or maybe persecution. We stab ourselves with imaginary daggers. The rod of imagination hurts us more and is more dangerous to us than the rod of reality. And the giants we fear are often just shadows that we think are going to be followed by a giant, but there's no giant that comes. Why? Because the truth is we're so afraid. Oh, what are we going to do if we lose our job? Well, you're going to... I mean, the fear is worse often than the reality. We wade through rivers that do not exist. And by the way, most of our fears are of things that are not near as bad when they happen as we thought they would be. Oh, somebody says, I'm afraid of getting old. I'll be honest with you, it's not near. It's highly overrated, this fear of getting old. If I ever get, I'm getting older, and I don't really see any real problem about it. I still enjoy life. And the truth is, I enjoy life more right now than I did in this 40. And I enjoy it more than did when I was 30. Let me think about 20 for a minute. But to me, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And every day with Jesus, I love Him more and more. And Jesus saves and keeps me, and He's the one I'm living for. So every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. You're so afraid. Little girl, I told you about it many times. Little girl said on my birthday, wrote me a note, said, Brother Howes, I love you. You're the best preacher in the world. I hope you live to be 50. Now, to her, the awful thought of getting 50 was unbearable, unthinkable. Oh, I hate to grow old. Oh, not bad at all. So one, the truth is there's some things about growing old you never have when you're young. A bald head and a pot belly and so forth. But there's a great peace and a great contentment and a great joy. I'm trying to say, don't fret. Okay, so you have passed 35, and now you're looking at the obituary more than you are the funny papers. Okay, I understand that. I've been right through it. I can recall when I was 35 years old, got the obituary out every day to see how many folks younger than I were dying. How many folks older than I? Hey, wake the fella up on the front row. Hey, fella, sit up there. If you want to go to bed, go home. But sit up. I'm going to pull you up if you don't sit up now. Look at me. Hey, I got something to teach you, and I want you to hear it. No place to come and act like you're laying on a cot somewhere. That goes for you deacons, too, unless you're, if you're chairman, you can sleep, of course. But our officer on the deacon board, But I'm saying there's no need to be afraid. Some reason for you to be afraid. But there's no need to be afraid. None at all. Why? Because most of the things that we fear are highly exaggerated, and they're not as bad when they happen. Somebody said, Brother Hyle, aren't you afraid your mother is going to pass away one of these days? She's 91 years of age. That's not any young whippersnapper. That's old enough to vote, but it's not old enough to see the ballot. Too old to see the ballot. And aren't you afraid? Now, look, I know one day mother's going to go to heaven. I may go before she goes. Who knows? She's outlived everybody but Methuselah already and Aunt Lou. And who knows? I tell the wicked never die young anyway, and so she may live to be 200 years old. Who knows? But you think I'm going to sit here and worry about my mother going to heaven? You think I'm going to fear my mother walking down golden streets? You think I'm going to be afraid because my mother soon is going to have eyes that can see well once again? You think that bothers me? Now, I'd miss her if she were taken, but you think I'm going to sit here and worry and be afraid? Oh, one of these days I'll lose my mother! Yeah, but think where I'll lose her to. You think I'm going to sit here in fear because my mother is going to see Jesus one of these days? You think I'm going to sit here in fear because my mother's not going to have to take any pills again? First thing she's taking pills so long, she's going to take them with her to heaven. I know that. She's going to forget and take one and try to heal her glorified body. But I'm not going to fear. I'd miss her if she's gone. I'm not going to fret about that. Why? Because that's a fear. In the first place, that's a fear that is not bad. I mean, the fear is bad, but what's going to happen is not bad. Fear not, little flock. Don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid of growing old, and don't be afraid of loved ones being taken in death. In the first place, they're better off. I'm not going to be afraid because my mother's going to see Paul and John the Baptist and Peter and James and John. I'm not going to be afraid because my mother's going to have her face all ironed out and wrinkles all straightened out. I'm not going to be afraid because my mother's going to have hair that's not gray. I'm not going to be afraid because my mother can walk with a spry walk and be spry once again. I'm not going to be afraid of that. Of course I'll miss her, but I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid. You say, why? Because she's all cared for. She's going to heaven when she dies, and that there's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. Oh, listen, the devil causes us to fear, and fear, and fear, and fear, and fear. But God's not the author of fear. God's the author of trust. And so I'm saying, most, by the way, somebody, I'm afraid of depression. I'm afraid we're going to have a depression. Well, let me put it this way. Depression is not really bad. I lived through one. The only difference in depression and prosperity is that we have different delicacies. That's the only difference. You get to enjoy more things in depression. In depression, one little Hershey bar will make you do cartwheels. Yeah. You'd be amazed how much happier it is to have not than it is to have. Because the less you have, the more you want to have, and the more things that can excite you when you get them. Don't be afraid. Oh, but you smell the hunt. I'm afraid of depression. Depression, not so bad. I lived through one. I enjoyed it, and I'd just soon have one. I mean it. I just soon have one again. You say, now, wait a minute, preacher. We never had it so good. I know, and we never had it so sinful either. We never had it so sorry either. We never had been so unspiritual either. I'm saying, that doesn't worry me. The price of gold going down bothered me a bit. All I got to go watch, price of gold doesn't bother me. Stock market is about to bust. Sorry about that, but I ain't got anything can bust in that. I mean, I have no the house. Aren't you worried about depression? Not me. You say why? Because it's not so bad. Now let me say this also. Not only is it. Are most of our fears needless? And not only are most of the things we fear not as bad as we thought they'd be when they come, but the truth is, God has a promise for every occasion that can alleviate every fear. Why don't you take Matthew 6:33 and throw it right in the middle of poverty? Oh, I'm afraid I'll be poor. Why don't you take Matthew 6:33? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. All these things. What? Clothing. What? All these things. What? Raiment. What? Food. What? Provision. What? Care. What? Shoes to keep our feet warm. What? Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God, and God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory of Christ Jesus. Can you beat that? All these things shall be added unto you. And take Philippians 4:13, Philippians 4:19, throw them right in the face of old age. Throw them right in the face of fear about retirement. Throw them right in the face of fear of death. You say, I'm afraid to die. How about going to the first chapter of Philippians and finding out where God says to die is gain? Folks, we, of all people in this world, Christians ought not to fear. Now, I say, I'm not afraid to die. If I knew I were going to die right now, I would not be afraid of dying. I don't want to die. I don't like the door from which you go to heaven, to earth, to heaven, is not my favorite kind of door. I don't want to suffer. I don't want anybody putting my body in a... I want one of those mausoleums out there. I want to be up where I can see. I don't want anybody... And the thought of dying, it only bothers me. I don't like anybody else putting my towel on me and picking out my suit. I saw a preacher the other day. Said his wife packs his suitcase and picks out everything he wears and every morning lays his clothes out for him. Not me, buddy. I don't want anybody picking out my tie for me, picking out my suit for me. And I don't want to go down a hole in the ground. You could suffocate down there, and I don't want to do that. But I tell you what, I'm not afraid of what's going to happen after that. Somebody asked General Arnold one time, said, you fought many battles, you won many great victories. What's the most exciting thing you've ever done? He said, it hasn't happened yet. And they said, what is it? And he said, the first 5 minutes after I die. You have to be afraid of that. Now, I say, I don't want to suffer, but I was on the airplane, taking off from O'Hare Field, going to St. Louis, Missouri. We're sitting there on the ground, and I said to the lady beside me, are you saved? And she said, I'm a Christian Scientist. And I said, do you know you go to heaven? She said, there's no such thing as a heaven or a hell. It's all the figment of the imagination. I said, look, you go to hell, you burn forever. Oh, she said, no. She said, pain is only in the mind. You just think you suffer. One of the boys said to his mama, said a Christian Scientist fell down the street who thought he was sick. He thinks he's dead now, he said. And I said, look, you ought to get saved. And she said, no, worry about that. She said, pain is only in the mind. You just think that you're in pain. We took off, and the pilot came on intercom, had taken off, and said, ladies and gentlemen, we've lost engine number 4. Great beads of perspiration came out on her brow. I looked over to her, and I said, you think you're sweating now, don't you? I said, you think you're going to think this plane is going to crash, don't you? And, oh, she's afraid. I was flying from Chicago to Detroit. Fellow beside me, had witnessed to it, didn't have any use for God at all. And I prayed for God to help me to have some good way to witness to him. God gave me that way, an engine on an Electra plane caught on fire. I mean, you can look out the window and see that electric fan burning. And I looked out, I said, hey, fella, I said, look at there. And he said, what's wrong? And I said, engine's on fire. And we looked down, there's a circle of the field in Metropolitan Airport in Detroit, and the fire trucks were lined up along the runway. And I said, see all that down there, all those fire trucks and flashing lights? He said, yeah, it was dark. He said, yeah. What's that for? I said, they have us in mind. He had no problem getting saved then. None whatsoever. You said, well, the house, how did you feel? Well, I'm a Christian, buddy. I believe this book. And I was scared to death. I don't want to crash. And we landed. I got off my knees. But tell you what, honestly, I'm not afraid to die. I don't want to go on the next trip, but I'm not afraid to die. No, sir. There's no need for the Christian to be afraid. No need at all. That's why we have our nervous breakdowns. That's why we have all our mental problems. That's why we have our emotional disturbances. We're afraid. There's no need to be afraid. Look! The God that made the universe lives right in here in my heart this morning. I have no need to be afraid. Good night. Be calm and fear not, little flock, the Lord Jesus said. He said to those fretting disciples as he was going back to heaven, He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." I don't think our Lord said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." I think Peter said, "Good night, Lord. You leaving us." And I think John said, "My goodness, we're going to be down here by ourselves. We're scared to death." And I think Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled." We doctor the Bible up. We put so much salve on it. Yeah, look, believe it. By the way, that ye believe in God is an imperative. It's not just a declarative statement, it's an imperative. It says, believe in God. He's saying, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God." Then he said, "Believe also in me." Both of those statements are on the imperative in the Greek. Believe in, he's saying, believe in God, believe in me. I'm going to go to my Father's house and prepare a place for you. I'm going to come back and get you. That's what he's talking about. Okay, so let the nuclear plant, the worst I can do is go to heaven. Boy, I'd like to know what the best is. That's the worst I can do. Oh, I love to hear old Dr. John Rice tell about that time some fellow threatened to kill him. And old Dr. Rice looked at him and said, "You ain't going to scare me with heaven." I like that. I like that. I like that. Fear not. Why fear not? Well, because in the first place, most of the things that we fear never transpire. And the fear hurts us more than what we fear. In the second place, most of the things we fear are not nearly as bad as we thought they'd be when they come. And the third place, if they do come, God has a promise to fit every occasion. He had angels for Elijah. He had manna for the Israelites. He had a path across the Red Sea. He had a pillar of fire for his people. I can recall when I used to be afraid of starvation, but I never starved. I used to be afraid of war. I can recall, Mother, do you remember the time when the World War II started and they came out with extras? They didn't have televisions and most folks couldn't afford radios back in those days. We did have dinosaurs to ride, of course. But anyway, I can recall now that they'd come down the street. I mean, down, not just downtown. They'd come down the street where we live. "Extra! Extra! Read all about it! Japanese attack Pearl Harbor! Extra! Extra! America in war! Extra! Extra! Read all about it! President called special session of Congress! Extra! Extra! A state of emergency has been declared! Extra!" I can recall hugging my mother and saying, "Mama, that means they're going to come over here and bomb us, doesn't it?" And I was so fearful, afraid. When I was in college, I met a little girl, student. Her name was Anna. Her last name was Veneziano. Anna Veneziano. Her father pastored a little Baptist church right across the street from the Vatican City in Rome. And Anna told me about the war. She told me how that she'd go to school when she was 8 years old. She'd go to school in the morning. And coming home from school in the afternoon, all of a sudden the sirens would blow and the bomb alert would sound. And the bombs would start dropping and shrapnel would start flying. And Anna told me how that she used to get a little testament when she was 8 years old and hide in a covert somewhere or some little ditch. She'd jump in and hide as the bombs were exploding all around her and his bodies were flying and his shrapnel was flying and folks were dying. Anna told me how she had a little testament. In fact, she showed me the same testament that had it. She showed me how she had a little testament that had the Psalms in it. She said, "Brother Hiles," she said, "I would hide in a ditch somewhere. And as the bombs would drop, I would read, 'He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noise and pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence or disease that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday." And then Anna would weep and she'd say, and then Brother Hiles, I'd read this one while I'd watch people dying. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, only it shall not come nigh thee. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, hear me now, in all thy ways. You reckon when the Lord says he'll give his angels charge to keep thee in all thy ways, you reckon that means when a nuclear plant springs a leak? Reckon it means that? You reckon, young people that have loved ones back yonder in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, you reckon in all thy ways includes that? You think maybe in all thy ways, you think maybe that includes a famine? Huh? You think that includes a nuclear war? Huh? You reckon that means unemployment? Huh? Reckon that means a loved one's death? Huh? Reckon that means in your death? Huh? And so the Lord said, don't be afraid. Good night. He didn't say good night, but he would have if he had known it. Good night. Don't be afraid. I don't ever die. Don't be afraid of a guy that can die. I'll never die. Be happy because I'm your God. Here's a man who's going to turn to grass and wither like the grass and turn to dust. Don't be afraid of that guy. But there's no need to be afraid. There's no need to fear. Why? Because underneath are the everlasting arms. Yeah. Don't be afraid. Don't fear. Little children, boys and girls, don't be afraid. God's able to take care of you. Be not dismayed, whatever betide. God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. No, we're not going to be blowed up. But if we are blowed up, we're going to be blowed all the way up. All the way up. Our Heavenly Father,